Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. Good, good. Is Connor going to be training with Theo Peckham this summer or something? Or where's this weight going to come from?
Well, he's 195 now. I don't think going to 200 is a big leap.
Oh, is he 195 now?
Yeah, he was 195 at camp, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, good for him. Yeah, 200 pounds will be rock solid for him. I thought he was closer to 190 this year, but anyways, whatever. That you can put on some muscle and some strength in the off season, and I agree with you. He's going to be a handful when he as he sort of becomes a man and fills out a little bit, as long as he can maintain that speed, which I don't think that'll be an issue.
Yeah, like Nurse had to gain about 60 pounds to I think lose his speed.
Right? Yeah.
So I look at that situation when, you know, the players on the bench aren't privy to the replay. I completely understand Nurse's train of thought.
Well, yeah. I mean, for a long time, I've been on this show complaining that not enough of that stuff happens, that the response isn't there. And so when a guy goes out and does it, it's hard to then go on air and criticize him. What I would say is, I think that if you believe in a code, he might have crossed the line and violated it a little bit. I mean, he grabbed him, dummied him, and then continued to beat on him while the guy was just trying to cover his face and hold on for dear life. But hey, Darnell Nurse obviously was taught, if you're going to get in a fight, get the first one in. And he did. And so Polak, it just never looks good when a guy ends up covered in blood and with both of his gloves on still. That never looks great. So I think he'll get suspended. But it's hard to criticize a guy when I've been one of the ones complaining that not enough of that stuff happens. And I think Polak, it was a pretty innocent play with Hendricks, but Roman Polak's a guy who plays a physical game, and you know, there's going to be a little give and take sometimes, and so probably not ideal for Darnell last night, but I'm not going to criticize him too much.
Oh, I don't have an issue with it whatsoever, especially when you consider that he didn't see the replay. And in real time, when the referee's 5 feet away, deems an interference, clearly that basically tells the orders that there was some contact from Polak.
Absolutely, that there was a cheap play there,
yeah.
As opposed to just knowing the ref didn't make the right call.
Yeah.
And so Darnell takes matters into his own hands. And this is the thing about Darnell. He's going to be on that line. He's going to play the game on the edge. And so if you want players in your lineup that play the game on the edge, sometimes they're going to be slightly over it. Sometimes they're going to be slightly behind it. They'll be right on it a lot of times. And so you need to accept that sometimes guys might cross the line a little bit if you want players who are wired that way. And the Oilers, I think, want players who are wired that way. So that's an instance last night where maybe a little bit on the wrong side of it, but you love having that player on your roster.
Oh, take them all day, especially if it's a player that can play. That's the other thing, you know. We don't need guys who play 4 minutes a night to do that because they could never do it anyway because they're on the ice. But now you've got some players who play regularly. Patrick Maroon last night, I thought, had a solid night. And in the third period, they changed the lines. Like they weren't overly assertive early on offensively, missing the net again. When they changed the lines, the Eberle Drysdale Maroon line had some outstanding chances in the third period. Do you think that they stick with those lines? And if you're Todd McClellan, would you be experimenting as much as you can down the stretch just to see what you've got?
I don't know that I'd say I'd be experimenting as much as possible. I would be trying to find combinations that work. So I think if he gets on to the scent that something is working, then I absolutely think that he'll stay with it and give it a longer look. So practice today out in Leduc sounded like he kept Hall with McDavid and moved Cassian for a look on that line. Then you go Maroon, Drysdale, and Everly, kept them together. So it's like two skilled guys and a bigger skilled guy is the combination that he wants to see. And I think that makes sense. I have no issue with that at all. It leaves Yakupov on a line that I think is going to have trouble doing anything, but that's just kind of the way it's been with Nail for a lot of this year. So they pile all their eggs into those two lines, and it'll be very interesting when all of a sudden you draw Ryan Nugent-Hopkins back into the mix and see what combinations they go with there. So I like the fact that he's going to give Hall and McDavid a look here. I think that's how he's going to start tomorrow. That would be my guess. And I think he liked what he saw from that Drysdale-Everly line. So I think this is what we're going to see. And I'm glad to see him doing it because he's given the Hall Draisaitl line a lot of time to try and go through their ups and downs and not be knee-jerk in his reactions. But it's time now. McDavid and Eberle have been good together, but it's okay to move it around a little bit. I like the fact that he's going to give it a go. By the way, Connor McDavid and Taylor Hall, I mean, they could very well end up playing on a line together through the World Championships as well. So before all is said and done, that could be the tandem we're talking about.
Well, you know what? It'll be interesting to see. I always chuckled when after two games, people said Hall and McDavid couldn't play together.
Yeah.
Based on two games.
I mean, listen, in fairness, and I wasn't one of the ones that said they can't play together. In fairness, you take a look at it and you analyze what you see. And so the early returns on McDavid and Hall was, oh, okay, they have a little bit of trouble flowing and kind of getting the timing. They both like to have the puck. They're both super fast. So that, you know, we're just analyzing what we're seeing in front of us. And the early return was, okay, not necessarily a natural click happening right away. Todd pulled away from that right away and went in a different direction. So, I mean, I wasn't one of the ones saying it'll never work. I've been saying they need to give this a longer look at some point. But I think, you know, back at the time, you're looking at it and analyzing it. And there wasn't a natural fit right off the bat. But that doesn't mean with some more time together that they're not going to be able to work it out. They're two brilliant players. They're going to be able to play together.
Oh, yeah, I'd be surprised. And hey, man, if you're Zach Cassian, you think you won the lottery right now. So
yeah, for sure. The thing about Connor, too, that's different, I mean, I think the players on his team knew he was good before. Like, I think they knew that at the beginning of the season. But if there was any doubt in anybody's mind, it's about how dominant he can be. If you're Taylor Hall, you're happy to give the puck up to McDavid. It's, hey, if he wants to take it and go, fantastic, because you know that's only going to mean good things for you too. This notion of Connor maybe deferring to Taylor a little bit, that's going to be gone now. And that is better for everybody. So Taylor, I think, understands just how dominant Connor is and is going to be and has no trouble giving that puck up to him. In fact, you see Taylor looking to find Connor as opposed to trying to be the main guy on that line, right? Taylor's happy to have Connor there and to give it up. And I think now that that dynamic has been established, that the offense does need to flow through Connor, I think that's good for everybody.
Ryan Hrshak from TSN joins us. You look at the Oilers right now and just kind of, I guess let's talk quickly about the World Championships. And McDavid and Hall,
sure.
I agree with you. I think they're going for sure. Leon Draisaitl is going guaranteed for Germany. He is a huge deal in Germany and obviously
yeah.
wants to go. What's interesting,
that
though,
was pretty cool that German crew that was in the other day, hey, doing the big feature on them. Those guys were giants.
No, they were massive. Hey? It was like
yeah,
a basketball bunch of
yeah.
I was talking to Leon about his joke. I said, "All he goes, yeah, you know what? Like, Germany's a lot taller of a country than
yeah.
than he says it here in Edmonton, at least from you know his time in Edmonton." So,
but that one guy had to be like 6'7" or something. I mean, he was a monster. But it was very cool. The crew from Germany in town to do a feature on Draisaitl, and it kind of opened your eyes to just how huge a deal he actually is over there. I mean, he's the best German player in the world right now.
Yeah.
And what a huge deal that makes him back home.
Well, they call him the Ice Nowitzki, which is, you know, that's a pretty cool moniker for a young kid because Dirk Nowitzki is a pretty big deal in Germany.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing is I was joking with Leon. He probably can sing better than Dirk, so that would be a good thing.
I don't know if Leon can sing or not.
Well, have you heard Dirk? I'm just saying. I don't think it's going to be that hard to out-sing him. But
there
so those three are going. Cam Talbot. I looked at goalies from Canada. Outside,
yeah.
like for non-playoff teams, there's him and Devan Dubnyk, and Talbot arguably is playing just as well, if not better,
oh,
than
yeah.
Devan Dubnyk. I think
no,
Cam Talbot's almost a lock to go.
He's got to be definitely, definitely very much in the conversation and a real good chance that he goes. You know, you got to think Jordan Eberle gets a look for sure. He was very, very good there at last year's tournament, so you'd have to think he gets a look. Be interesting for Nugent Hopkins because he's going to want to, I mean, I know he was left off the North American roster. I think he would love the opportunity to go and make up some games and play, I would assume, at the Worlds. So it'll be interesting to see whether he gets a look or not. I mean, it gets a little tough through the middle of the ice. There's some pretty good kids down the road in Calgary that eat up some of those spots. Korpakovsky will probably go, I would assume, if he's healthy. Klefbom, if he's back and healthy again, you would have to think would be able to be part of Team Sweden. So, yeah, I mean, Matt Hendricks has gone for the U.S. before. I mean, the Oilers could have a real good contingent over there.
Well, for sure they could.
And that's what you're looking for, right? Being a dominant team over at the World Championships. Championships just splattered with Oilers everywhere. It seems like it's been that way for a few years now.
Eberle, a guy you think almost a lock to go, considering he played last year?
Yeah, well, he was so good at that tournament last year. To be honest with you, and I'm going to the World Championships this year, so really looking forward to that. I haven't really gone through and started creating a roster yet. That's kind of on my list of to-dos coming up here. So I would have to take a much closer look at it to see. But I think he just has to get consideration based on his performance there last year. I mean, he and Taylor were fantastic with Sid. Why couldn't he, Hall, and McDavid go as a line, a ready-made line?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, lots of we'll see what happens. You know, it's obviously not ideal for the Oilers and definitely their fan base, right? I'm not sure they're like, oh, great, we can watch games at 9 in the morning from Russia. You'd much rather watch games at evening that you could see live because the team was actually in the playoffs. But I understand, you know, you want the players going there. You want their mindset that, you know, and their body's getting used to still playing in May. What's different, though, is like I talked to Leon Draisaitl, and Germany's camp starts, like, right after the regular season. And I was like, well, I think you're going to make the team. And like, you'd think he'd want at least a week off, right?
Yeah, well, that's where those teams are comprised mainly of players who don't play in the NHL, right? A team like Germany. And so their situation might be a little bit different. So Leon probably has the pull to say, okay, this is the date I'll be available to join the national team. And I don't think they're going to say, well, if you're not at the camp, you're not making the team. A lot of those players, their seasons, they're not playing anymore. Their seasons are over. You have a camp to get the guys together and get them going because most of them aren't NHL players. So they're more national team players playing in different leagues around Europe. I think for Leon, he would probably have the leeway to sit back a little bit, I would assume.
And one last one for you, Sagar. Just a one game for Nurse. Basically, that's all the rule. I can't see him getting more.
Well, I think so. And based on the way the referees call, I mean, the league wants to suspend him, right? Because based on what the referees called last night, was there any reason for there to be an automatic hearing or anything like that? I mean, they called 2 for roughing and 5 for fighting, right?
Yep.
So it seemed to me like the league stepped in and said, nope, the right call was not made, and we are going to correct this. Because had they called an instigator, I think, would that not have come with an automatic suspension?
Yeah, if it's in the last 5 minutes, just like Max Domi, it's an automatic one game.
So this is what happened last night, in my opinion. The referee should have given him an instigator, but that cost Todd McClellan money. So the referees step in, they do Nurse a little bit of a solid by not doing that, putting him in the position where he costs his coach and his team money. Not necessarily putting him in a position to get suspended based on the call they're making, understanding maybe they didn't make the exact right call on Pollock. The ref's doing the head coach a solid in that instance, and then the league steps in and says, no, we got to take a closer look at this because the right call wasn't made on the spot.